Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And when you find that, then I'm going to have you to go back to Judges chapter 6. Hold both places. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. And so we'll begin with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And because of the way we're going to divide this verse, we're only going to read half of that verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. And then it goes on with the rest, and the rest of them we'll do later. And so right now we're going to stop right there. We'll begin with prayer. And then we'll go back to Judges. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time. And please, that you just show us your precious word. Guide and lead us through it. So important, Father, that we hear from you. This is a wonderful way to start the study concerning asking this question. And so please, speak to our hearts now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What more shall I say? That's the question. That is the question. And if you'd look at what we have studied in the past weeks and almost months, we have looked at Abel and his faith. We've looked at Enoch and his faith. We've looked at Noah and his faith. We looked at Abraham and Sarah and their faith. We've looked at Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses' parents and Moses and Joshua. And then last week, Rahab. We have looked at each and every one of those folks and the faith that they had, the walk that they had. And so Paul here, and I believe that Paul is the writer. There's kind of some question about that, but I believe myself that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And Paul asks the question, how much more do I have to tell you? What is it going to take to bring you folks back to the faith? What am I going to have to do to bring you folks to the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ? We're studying the book of Galatians on Wednesday night, and the book of Galatians is very similar to the book of Hebrews, because what's happening in the book of Hebrews, they continue to walk away from the truth, and especially here in Hebrews, because they want what they want. They want you to incorporate some works with it. They want you to come in, and they want you to begin to maybe offer some sacrifices. Today, the church adds all kinds of requirements. They add the requirement of baptism for salvation. They require the requirement of church membership. You have to belong to a given church in order to be born again. And all these things have been put out there, and they've been going on now for literally 2,000 years, ever since the birth of the church. The devil has tried to change the precious free gift of salvation. We are saved and saved by grace and grace alone. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart, shows you that you're lost, shows you that you need a Savior. And you just need to come by faith and be born again. You need to trust in him. And Paul is saying, how many more examples am I going to have to give you so that you folks will get back on track? How many times do I have to explain this? Abel walked by faith. Enoch walked by faith. Noah walked by faith. All of them walked by faith. Faith that brings you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When is the day going to come that you're going to trust in Jesus by faith? You don't even have to muster the faith up. The only thing you have to do is believe the Word of God. Believe that you're lost. Believe that you need to be saved. How much more? By faith, by faith, by faith He saves you. By faith He keeps you. By faith we're waiting on the Lord Jesus to come back and get us. By faith. By faith. We listed one name in this 32nd verse, Gideon. Gideon. So let's go back to Judges. Go back to the 6th chapter. Give you just a little bit of history here. God decided to establish the line of judges after the death of Joshua. We have Moses leading them out of Egypt. We have Joshua leading them into the land of Canaan. And now that they're in the land of Canaan, he's established judges. Gideon was the sixth of the judges. He was number six of these judges. There was one in each time. The judges lasted 299 years. So it started at the death of Joshua, and it goes all the way to Samuel. And so there's a little bit of history here. And so now we have Gideon. He's a judge, been given this wonderful position, this place. Where do we find Gideon? You know, Gideon, we were talking about some of the preachers today have the robes and all the fancy things that they put on and everything. You know, so do judges. You know, I don't know if you've ever sat before a judge, but they come out with this wonderful robe on. You know, they look official, and you figure that they are, and so you better act like it. And so when you come out before them, and so we think of Gideon. Okay, was he sitting in some fancy room and had his fancy robe on, making official decisions for the nation of Israel? Gideon was thrashing wheat down by a wine press, which is kind of a ridiculous place. But you see, there the harvest was so small that you just kind of used a stick to thrash the wheat with. You didn't need an oxen and something that would roll the big stone around to thrash the crop. He just was doing it by hand. And he was doing it secretly because he wanted to hide from the Midianites. So that's where we start. He's the judge. He's the big guy. One person here at church years ago called me Head Beagle. And so he would be the Head Beagle. And so he was the number one. He was the important one. And yet we find where Gideon was at. Let's begin with verse 11, Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord, sat under an oak, which was Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, and his son Gideon thrashed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man, man of valor. That's where we start. Mighty man of valor. Now we're going to look at three different situations here with Gideon. He was the son of Joash, the sixth judge of the nation of Israel. God placed him into that position. But his dad, Joash, was a worshiper of Baal. His dad wasn't even true to the Jewish religion. He had fallen aside and was worshiping Baal. Now, Baal, if you look that up, you'll find that that's kind of a heading almost for a lot of gods in the land of Canaan. And they were big in idol worship and all those things. And Joash was one of them. And Joash was not only one of those that worshiped Baal instead of worship Jehovah God, he also was a leader. Joash was the head of the community, so to speak. And so as we go on with the story, I want you to kind of understand those things. Gideon was working. Now, there's going to be three instances that we're going to read about here, and I want you to see each one of them. Because God wants Gideon to do something. He said, you're a man of valor, mighty man. Gideon didn't think so. Gideon didn't think so. He said, I'm from Manasseh. I am nothing. Yes, I'm a judge, but I'm nobody. And so here comes this guest to his house. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Now we have this many times through the scripture. The angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham at his tent door. We find this many times that you'll see that this has taken place. And so here he appears. He appears in bodily form. This is prior to the Lord Jesus having a body. We don't know what this body looked like, but he appeared to Gideon. And it wasn't some vision. I believe that it was literally a person. He looked like a person. You know, we talk about how that sometimes you'll entertain an angel unawares because you don't realize that it's an angel that God has sent him to help you or to do something for you. Well, here comes this man, and we find it, and then he comes to the down through each one of these scriptures here, and I'll just start reading here just a little bit. So listen very carefully because it says it very clearly. You're a man of valor, into verse 12, verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalled us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us unto the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in thy tent this thy night, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. He wants to know, who am I talking with? Verse 18, depart now hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until I come. Basically, Gideon says, I'm going to go in the house, I'm going to fix you supper, you wait, and I'm going to be right back out with supper. And so please, you wait, because I want you to see this. Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, verse 19, and unleavened cakes, and an orpha of flour, and the flesh put he in a basket, and put broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it to him. So he said, here, I want to serve you. And then in verse 20, the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. I've just fixed you this wonderful meal. And you want me to take this out and put this on this cold rock and pour the broth over the top of it? Okay, that's what he did. And he did so. The angel of the Lord, think about this, put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there arose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Gideon perceived that it was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And that angel of the Lord was none other than the Lord Jesus. But here we find that he does something very strange. He puts this meal out on this rock, this cold rock, pours the broth on top of it. And here stands Jesus, and he touches it with a staff. And fire comes out of that rock. Fire comes out of that rock and consumes all that's on it. That's the first time. Gideon says, I know you're with me. I know you're with me. Then something takes place. And as we read verse 23, and the Lord said unto him, peace be with thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon built an altar, and there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah. And then it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of the seventh year, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God, upon the top of this rock in the order place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, so he did it by night. And he was told to cut down the altar of Baal. Cut it down. Burn it, get rid of it, build another altar, and sacrifice to the Lord God there. Well, again, whose bullock is he taking? His father's. His father worships and brings offerings to that altar and offers them to Baal. And here his son, Gideon, comes in, tears the altar down, takes the very same animal, offers it unto the Lord at the same place. The men of the city show up in the morning. That's where we're at. Verse 28, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked and said, Gideon, the son of Joash, he hath done this thing. And then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. The Lord, for some reason, prayerfully, thankfully, used Joash. Gideon's dad, to stop this group. They wanted to hunt Gideon down, kill him. He had destroyed this altar. And Joash, even though he is a worshiper of Baal, he said, you know, if Baal has that kind of power, let Baal go after him. If he's a god, let Baal do it. And that seems to satisfy him for a minute. And then in verse 20-32, it says, therefore on that day is called Zerubbabel. That means Baal will contend. And so let Baal plead against him because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amorites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, gathered all. Now, we begin again. First time, his faith is strengthened by this demonstration of the Lord as he burned up the food and things on the rock. But we're about to go to battle. He sent a messenger throughout all Manasseh, and who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers to Asher and Zerubbabel and Naphtali, and they came to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, hast thou said. And then we go through the message that most of us know about, and that's the fleece. He says, you know, Lord, I believe you, you know. And this is who God is. This is what God does. God doesn't slap Gideon around and says, now listen, I have shown you my power. Go do it. When Gideon begins to be a little weak, he said, God, would you show me a sign? I'm going to put this fleece out, and I want you to put dew on the fleece, but dry every place else. Could you do that? Because then I'll know it's you. Next morning, got up, ground dry, picked up the fleece, and he drained enough water to fill a bucket out of that fleece. God, will you be patient with me? How about let's do it the other way? I want the fleece dry, ground wet. Will you do that? Again, we see the love and the patience of God. Because God does that. He does the same thing. Fleece was dry the next morning. Everything else was wet. Gideon said, fine. You're with me. Here we go. All right. So then, chapter 7. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. Okay. 32,000. That's what we have. We have 32,000 soldiers on Israel's side. Now, we know that over on the other verse 12 of chapter 7, and we'll kind of read through some of this, but the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the valley lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand of the sea is multiplied. So we got 32,000 versus a multitude of people. No comparison here. But the Lord's on my side, so I'm okay. And what does the Lord say? That's too many. You don't need that many, Gideon. You don't need that many to destroy the Amalekites and the Midianites. You don't need that many. And so he gives them some instructions, and this again is something that most people hear about and read. And so let's start here with verse 3. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the mount of Gilead, and there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. So that first time, if you're afraid, you see what we're going against, if you're afraid, go home. Just go ahead. There's not going to be a problem. You just go home. And so they did, to the point that now we're down to 10,000. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee. And the same shall go with thee, and whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, and the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knee to drink, the number of them that lappeth, putting their hands on their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down unto their knees to drink water. The Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lappeth will I save you and deliver the Midianites unto thy hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpet, and sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Why did the Lord do that? 32,000, and the multitudes that were on the Midianite side are still tremendously outnumbered. Why would the Lord not be satisfied with that? Why did he send 22,000 home? And then why did he send all but 300 home? Because he wanted the nation of Israel to see, I am God. He makes the odds so impossible. That's where the faith comes in. Now, all you need to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Not by any works that's there. God demonstrates the power of faith often. And that's the same faith that he's giving Gideon to go to Bible, to battle. He gives the same faith to you to be born again, to be saved. All you need to do is listen. Just listen to the Spirit. It's all you need to do, is just to listen. So now we're down to 300. Well, God could tell Gideon was now really concerned. You have taken away all these folks. And so he and Gideon and his servant decide, by the leadership of God, to go down and spy on them, on the Midianites. And he goes down and he listens very carefully, and he's hearing them talking. And you know what he hears? He hears two of the folks visiting. Said, you know, I had a dream last night. I had a dream that this monstrous barley cake rolled down the hill and run into our tent, flattened the tent, pulled the cords out, and killed everybody in the tent. And you know, we go back to Egypt and Pharaoh and wanting Daniel to interpret dreams and things like that. These people didn't need that. They said, you know what this means? This means Gideon's coming, and he's going to destroy us. They knew exactly what that dream meant. So they come back. The fellow answered and said, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon." That's what it is. The son of Joash, a man of Israel. So then we come to verse 16 of chapter 7. He divides the 300 men into three companies. He gives every man an empty pitcher, a lamp, and they also have a trumpet. He put a trumpet in every man's hand, an empty pitcher, and lamps within the pitchers. He said to them, "Look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall I do. When I blow the trumpet, and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had put newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and break the pitchers, and were in their hands. And what happened in this? The three companies blew the trumpets, break the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand, and blew withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. The 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against the fellow, even throughout all the hosts. And what took place at that time? They killed each other. They saw the light, they heard the trumpet, they all was scared, and they all converged, and they didn't know who was the enemy and who was the friend, and they killed each other. There's a little more to the story, but that basically is the extent of it. And so, what a joy it is to see. And those that escaped then, Gideon gave a shout out to Manasseh and to the rest of them that were there, and they gathered back and basically captured them all by faith. So you see, it took three different times. It took the meal on the rock, it took the fleece, and it took 300 men to destroy an army that was equal to where it looked like grasshoppers. There were so many of them. Camels you can't count. Now, what did camels stand for? Camels and horses are kind of the same. It meant strength. It meant an army. Look what the Lord does. You see why when I read of Gideon there back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, that I couldn't say, you know what Gideon did. Because it's too important for us not to come back and take a look at what Gideon did. And so the question comes back. The question comes back. What is it going to take to convince you? I can't convince you. A parent can't convince you. A child can't convince you. The Holy Spirit can. And it comes by faith. What shall I more say? What's it going to take to bring you to the Lord Jesus? What's it going to take to have you people walk the line of faith and not by works? Paul was angry with the churches in Galatia because he said, I can't believe that you have left the truth in such a short period of time. And yet when we look at the churches today, there's very few that believe once you come by faith, you're saved. There's very few that have not connected some level of works to the means of salvation. And what you've done is destroyed the precious gift of salvation that God wants to give you. He had to show Gideon. He took him from 32,000 soldiers. And Gideon didn't think he could beat the enemy with them. And he brought it down to 300. To 300. Can you just imagine that? Here's three different groups, three different locations, 100 each. 100, just 100 is all there was. They got a pitcher and they got the lamp, and the lamp is hidden with the pitcher, and the lamp is lit, and you stand there and you break that, the light comes on, you sound the trumpet. It looked like thousands of enemies. And they were on every side. So here comes the Lord. He just has them kill each other. I don't need that many people. And you see, God is with us all the time. Don't miss the opportunity to know Him as your Savior, but don't miss Him in your walk. The walk each and every day that He has for you. Because He wants to show you His love. He wants to show you His power and His strength every day. Every single day. Let's close in prayer. Father, please. To go back through these Old Testament messages, powerful, shows us your power and your strength. And we tend, and we do, we just forget. We forget the power. We forget the strength that's there. And we try to do it on our own. And we try to do it on our own, we always fail. So please, Father, just open up the hearts of all that are here. Open up my heart. Show me your strength. Help me to always depend upon you. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how good things are going or how bad things are going, I have found strength in you. You give us the faith. You give us the salvation. You seal us through for eternity. And you have taken care of a home in heaven eternally for us. And you're going to come back and get us. Father, it doesn't get any better than that. Thank you. Speak to our hearts now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.